Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Thursday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone, and you. A lot to get to. Plenty of reaction to Scott Frost's debut with the HSN last night. He hit on a number of things we'll dive into. We'll talk bubble and veer away from Nebraska a bit. Joe Lenardi chiming in on the Big Red with Sam McEwen. I'll have a thought on that. Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity, 15 minutes away. Get his take on all things college basketball and Nebraska football. And in hour two, Hall of Fame coach, longtime assistant to Danny Nee, and my broadcast partner for the state tournament, Jeff Smith, longtime coach at Southeast, will be with us in 1 hour. And then we'll head down to Sooner Land. And one of the more interesting stories of college basketball this year has been the collapse of Oklahoma basketball. Dean Blevins has covered the Sooners for a ton of years. We'll figure out what the heck's going on in Norman. They're one of those teams that could take a spot if Nebraska is in contention, true contention. You'll find out Sunday at 5. A lot of games going on. Oklahoma State on the ropes. They were up 10. They're now down 11 to Kansas. They are trying for the three-peat over Rock Chalk Jayhawk. Louisville got whacked today. That's good news if you're a Nebraska fan. Good effort by Boston College. They fall to Clemson. TCU done as K-State beats them. And then you have Arizona up by 11 over Colton's Buffaloes of Colorado. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Can find us on Twitter at Schmidt _radio. At Hail Varsity. Can email us, Chris at HailVarsity.com. So let's talk about Scott Frost and some of the things he outlined. He talked quarterbacks, he talked strength and conditioning, he spent some time on health. But the one thing that seems to be ringing true and through with Frost and what he's most adamant about is chemistry. That is built in the weight room, that is built by eating together, that's built by time spent with one another. What's killing Oklahoma? Team chemistry. What tore apart some of those Danny Nee teams of the golden era of the 90s? Team chemistry. Do you like the guy you're lining up next to or passing the ball in the paint to? And the focus on chemistry and team building is not forgotten. It's emphasized, it's underlined, it's highlighted by Scott Frost. One of many things that, when you listen to his hour-long session last night, if you did, that continues to come through. And that is the one thing, man, that will make and make just ginormous differences with teams that have talent. But not everybody can develop chemistry or just has chemistry. Why is Nebraska basketball 22-10 this year? Well, you got some dudes on the team that get along pretty well. You didn't have dudes on the team that got along at all a year after a tournament run in 2013-2014 for Nebraska basketball. Look and see how 2015 shook out. Disappointment, underwhelmed, missing the tournament. But this year's team, Evan Taylor, Anton Gill, both those guys did a great job of being upperclassmen, being leaders, and being there for their guys. So you see the success story and how it directly ties to chemistry. That's what Frost is getting in on. That's what Scott Frost is preaching. And one of many questions Coach Frost answered and talked about last night, we'll get to quarterbacks here in a second, but was the Unity Council and a caller asked Scott Frost, hey, are you going to put the Unity Council in? And that's a yes by Scott Frost, but not right away. So the average fan or the normal fan thought that you just kind of snap your fingers or clap your hands and poof, you have team chemistry. Took a while to build and develop, and you got to show how you want to build and how you want to develop it. And that's something Scott Frost is all about, but he wants this first year where him and the coaches show the guys how things need to work, how things need to be before just turning it over. What good's a culture you want to develop if you don't have it the way you want it? Think about that ice cream sundae you got after you won, not just because you played back in the day. You went through the line and you put the toppings on how you wanted your ice cream sundae. Some of us had cherry, some of us had whipped cream, some of us had nuts, some of us had sprinkles. But you didn't hand that mini helmet dish over at Kauffman and say, hey, you do it. I want to do my own. That's kind of what's happening right now. So when it comes to Nebraska football, a lot of things addressed, but the most important thing, if I had to circle on the to-do list, is that chemistry, is building that chemistry, developing that chemistry, developing that brotherhood in the weight room, through workouts, then on the field this spring, and then through summer workouts, and then from summer workouts to what you have in the fall. And you have so many teams that were blown apart, not because they ran into a better opponent, but because they couldn't stand or coexist with the guy right next to him in the locker room or right next to him on the court. So that's the first thing addressed by Frost to me that sticks out. Quarterback play. Coach Frost says it's going to be a work in progress. I think he feels pretty good about the options and choices you have at quarterback. Patrick O'Brien, Tristan Jebbia. You have Adrian Martinez in. And who's going to win the job? Don't know. Everyone's going to get a fair shake. Everyone's going to get a look. Everyone's going to get time to compete. You have one football and one first-team offense. So that'll be, as Frost put it, a work in progress. And he went to give you the Oregon example of how they were able to adapt. They adapted. What does X, Y, and Z do best? Well, Masoli was a good runner. Thomas was a good runner and thrower. Mariota, great thrower, very, very good to special runner, but let's not get him killed. So you adjusted the offense, adapted the offense, while protecting your stud at quarterback. And I can see Coach Frost doing the same thing. He'll do the same thing. He'll look at the offense. Who throws the ball best? Who can tuck and run 8 to 12 times a game? But we get through the season if we ask him a couple of times a season to run it 20 times. I like how flexible they're going to be with it. So Patrick and Tristan, as Coach Frost says, both doing a great job. And here's the thing, back to the adaptability part. You don't got to run a 4-4. That's Colton speed. You don't have to run a 4-4, but are you functional? Are you effective? And to me, that's the definition of Mackenzie Milton last year. The Central Florida offense, you had the threat of the quarterback run, not just extending a play, but tucking and running on third down. Or just when the defense isn't expecting it, the quarterback takes it, runs it, finds room for yards. You got to honor it. You can't forget about it. It's one more thing to mess with a defense. So that was good. Strength and conditioning focused on. Strength and conditioning, a big part of what made Nebraska great. Coach Frost very on point with that statement. And it was the separator. It was the difference maker for Nebraska. They were mauling people in the fourth quarter. You watched it. You love it. Some of you still have the poster of Warren Sapp with oxygen in his face, that mask very tight. as he's on a knee. And you take pride in that because you're out working and out muscling somebody. So Nebraska will get back to a point where they're bigger, stronger, and faster, but how about healthier? That's key. That's something that Coach Duvall and Central Florida was patted on the back for a year ago, and they should have been. The health. And then Frost also mentioned about being able to get really good players here, but also let's win by developing. Let's be the best at getting guys up to their potential, up to their max, maxing out. Let's have guys develop into amazing football players through practice, through practice, through practice. So those are some things that were touched on by Scott Frost. Of the things that have been outlined, what's most important to you? I mean, they all kind of stack like a game of Jenga on top of one another. But I think it starts with chemistry. You can put guys in the weight room. You can put guys at the training table. You can put guys in a formation. But do guys want to play for one another? That's been the downfall to so many great teams. Can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Court Can Tap House lets you do that. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Here's been the big question. When you look at 4-8 last year for Nebraska football, and a wise man once said it wasn't a talent level, but it was a mentality, a 4-8 mentality. Well, that's being eradicated through pushing yourself. And there's the reminder. Yeah, you're the first class to go 4-8 since 61. Wear that for a while. It'll be forgotten. Hold on. Yeah, it'll be forgotten and eventually be forgiven. But you got to do something with the here and now. Tackling was asked to, was a topic and a specific asked by a fan to Scott Frost. And tackling was something that he wasn't great at until he got to Tampa. And that is something that, as a Nebraska fan, I mean, that's killed you, hasn't it? The last 10 years, doesn't matter who's coaching. That has been the biggest problem, is the ability to tackle and not get run all over in big games. I'll ask Vogues this. He may or may not know. But what's the average rushing yard? Average rushing yards allowed by a Nebraska defense and some of their blowout losses in Big Ten play. You're right at three bills. That's probably a low-end number. So I like what I heard from Scott Frost. He was good with the fans. He touched on and talked a little bit about the pressure. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword where Nebraska fans will be patient and want this guy to do well. But the first time you lose, what's going on? I mean, that's a reality, man. And I can't fathom being in that guy's shoes. But chemistry's key. That's going to be a priority for Nebraska football moving forward. An effective runner at quarterback. The difference being strength and conditioning, where you're healthier, stronger, faster than your opponents, where you are making those game-winning plays in the fourth quarter. That Nebraska formula. And the patience factor with Frost, not only for the unity council, to not, you know, make it right before you rush it. I liked all of those things. We'll get caught up with Brandon Vogel, get his thoughts in it. Things that Frost is seeing that he's happy with right now before spring ball gets rolling. Better work ethic. That's good stuff. And the other part of this, too, is fan involvement. That'll be something they get to, but not immediately. Their nose kind of at the grindstone right now trying to get ready for spring football. So of the elements that go into a successful Nebraska football team, where do you rank chemistry? One? Is it two? Is it further down the list? That is your difference maker. Proactive is where I'm at, where I want you to be. Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake. When I talk about Madonna Proactive, and listen, you may be at a gym. Maybe you're thinking about a new workout facility. Please check out Madonna Proactive, madonnaproactive.org. Make an appointment today to take the tour at 56th and Pine Lake. Fitness and wellness goals you can achieve. Madonna Proactive offering individualized personal training, beginner and advanced classes, a variety of equipment, cardio, weights, an upstairs walking track, three indoor pools that are great, Lincoln's only aqua track, and over 130 classes for you. TRX, just to name a couple, Zumba classes, yoga, it's phenomenal. Basketball courts to get your three-point shot right. Pickleball to show off that lateral footwork. Go see Madonna Proactive today. Schedule a tour. Make the switch. 56 and Pine Lake, madonnaproactive.org, 402-420-0000.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
You know, I forgot Heisenberg makes an appearance in the rejoin. It goes well with chemistry. Kind of our theme today. Welcome into Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Dean Blevins, 1 hour from now on the Oklahoma tailspin. They've maybe just hit bottom. How that relates, his thoughts on Billy Tubbs and Danny Nee coming up. Jeff Smith, Hall of Fame coach, longtime Nee assistant, less than an hour away. And we welcome in a guy that went for 20 in district action, Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, how are we?
I'm not doing too bad. How are you, Chris?
I am good. Now, I won't ask you to go full Al Bundy, but you went 20 and 15 a few times. You were a double-double machine, correct?
No.
Lie to me.
It might have happened once, but I don't remember it. We were a pretty well balanced team, so I think we definitely had two people average double figures, but we kind of went about eight or nine deep, which is a big deal for a school that size. So we spread things around.
You weren't taking 839 shots. Come on, what's wrong with you?
I tried to, but I'd usually get sat down before that ever happened. So,
well, there you go. We'll hear a little state tournament lore from Vogues here before we're all said and done. Scott Frost on HSN last night, and I just kind of went nuts on chemistry. I think that's the most important aspect of this turnaround. And, I mean, strength and conditioning, yes. Quarterback play, yes. Scheme, yes, but I think it all starts with chemistry. And I listened to the hour last night, and there's a lot of things that made me kind of perk my ears up, but the one about waiting on the Unity Council I thought was so intelligent, but it's probably real hard to be patient with that in his own right. Let's start there. What's kind of your reaction with Frost wanting to wait a bit before it's Unity Council 2.0 with this program?
Yeah, I think I had a pretty similar reaction. I guess it wasn't anything I had really thought about prior to him saying it. You know, if you'd asked me, are they going to do the Unity Council, I would say, well, sure, probably. I'm sure they've started doing that. But, you know, for him to say essentially, like, look, I need to figure out if I can turn that part over to the team. Like, there's no question that he wants to do it at some point, but it wasn't just automatic, I think was a good sign. So, you know, you don't think about sort of, I guess, the trust involved going from the player to coach level. You always kind of think about, well, are these are these players going to trust the coach? Not the coach going to trust the players. So I thought that was a good sign overall.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, let's go to the quarterback spot. And you wrote about it in Hot Reads this morning on HailVarsity.com. The work in progress, is that something you think that will take? How long will that work be, right? How long is it going to take for the quarterback spot? And it's just spring, I know. It's hurry up and wait. But the quarterback thing is where I'm probably most confident that Nebraska will find somebody to be a good quarterback for a few years for them with what they have and what they can bring in. I thought the flexibility points he made were pretty encouraging, where, look, you don't have to have Mariota to run this offense.
Yeah, that was really interesting. It made me want to go back and look at exactly how the numbers differed between those Oregon quarterbacks that he mentioned. I haven't had a chance to do that yet, but I'm interested to see what that's like. In terms of timeline, I mean, I think you'll kind of look at this entire year as the one where the quarterbacks get up to speed. That doesn't mean they can't play well starting, you know, in September or October, but when you're 2 years down the road, it won't seem, you know, this whoever plays and whatever they're able to do in this first year will seem quite a bit different from I think what's coming down the road. You know, you saw that when Milton wasn't their starter at the start of the first season at UCF. And when he did play, you know, he was a lot better in year two, I guess. Let's put it that way. I think that's a pretty natural and realistic timeline to expect.
Right, and I think there'll be ongoing observations with whoever wins the job in the spring. Maybe it's not a finality that there'll be a winner this spring. Maybe it'll carry over to the fall. Who knows, man? I mean, it's everything's open. Everything's up for competition and to be earned. That said, I don't think Frost is bashful about making a change based on, you know, his history last year with Milton coming in after two years ago, as that freshman. He went to the bullpen after four games.
Yeah, he did, and you know, Milton came in and didn't blow anybody's doors off by any means, as you'd expect for a true freshman. But he played well enough to never lose that job. So I think that there's a possibility of that for Nebraska in 2018. Just when you look at the youth that they have, because if someone is able to take that job and kind of make it their own in 2018, well, that guy's going to be here for a while. So it's going to be pretty interesting that, you know, these opening months of spring football that we're getting ready to come up on are going to be pretty interesting, because we're right at that start of the race. But once somebody gets a lead, it gets a little more interesting even.
Vogues, what does an effective runner at quarterback mean to you?
Well, I think they can structure. Well, I'll just go with what Coach Frost said, which was effectively, you know, when the defense gives you the read to pull the ball down and run, can you get some yards there? So there's that part of it. I would also add in, for, you know, the plays that break down, primarily passing plays here, are you making the right decisions on when to pull it down and run, or what you need to do in that regard? So an effective runner can be mostly mental, I think. Which I've kind of maintained as we've gotten ready for spring ball is the biggest question for Nebraska at quarterback. Who leads that race right now, mentally, in terms of what they've already learned about the offense and how quickly they're capable of processing it? So I think that's kind of what you look for with what we know about the group that's there now.
Vogues, with what we know, from a running standpoint, is O'Brien the best option candidate if it is going to be a priority to run the ball? But it doesn't sound like there's a priority list put together yet. They're just still kind of evaluating. But say okay, Frost wants a quarterback run game heavy with its first year. Is it O'Brien? And then is it Martinez after that, based on his high school film? Where do you put Jebbia? How do you rank him, or can you, before we get into spring?
Yeah, it's pretty tough. Just not having seen these guys do the things that they're going to be asked to do. I guess if you to come up with a leaderboard of what it looks like in my mind, I have Jebbia at the top, just with sort of his gym rat nature and ability to process information. I think plays really well for this offense, particularly when there's no one on the roster that's run it. I think that gives him a pretty good edge. I think Martinez probably has the most classic blend of all of the skills that you look for a quarterback in this offense, but he's the youngest. So, and then that brings you to O'Brien's advantage. Is, you know, he's the only one who's actually played in some games. So I'd probably go Jebbia, O'Brien, Martinez, but it's all really, really close between those three.
You know, and Martinez is healthy to go, and the maturity's been well documented. I'm anxious to see what he can do early in spring ball. Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, let's wind down with tackling, and that's a priority. That's a technique that's going to be emphasized. And how many yards do you think Nebraska averaged allowing in some of those memorable losses that really is still hurting the fan base? And tackling's been an issue for a long time here.
Yeah, it has. bringing back bad memories for me, Chris, here. We had the whole hawk tackling fiasco where we had to talk about, well, how are they taught? Did they change how they were taught? So let's just say that I think you could safely estimate that in some of those tough losses that about 40% of those yards were probably coming after contact. I'm sure Diaco probably has the exact number unless he's wiped it from his memory, which I wouldn't blame him if he did. So that's a big thing. And it becomes bigger every year as spread football goes from just the preferred method of attack for most teams to just what football is now. Everybody's trying to put teams in one-on-one tackling situations in space. So you better be able to do it well.
Last thought here, about 45 seconds. Are you surprised that Frost gave Bowen and his staff a shout-out?
No. I think in terms of mentality and sort of the tough-nosed approach to the game, I think Pauley and Frost probably share a common ground there to some degree. You know, with Bo's history in the NFL, when Frost was still a player there, I wasn't that surprised. And, you know, and what he said about Bo was pretty accurate in my mind. They did do some good things. It just became kind of taking that final step to get over the hump and win something like along the lines of a conference title that they couldn't quite get done. But to be able to stay anywhere for 7 years and walk away with the winning percentage he had kind of tells you how unique it was, the circumstances that led to his departure.
Brandon Vogel, read his hot reads. Can check him out, Hail Varsity Magazine as well, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, great to catch up. Thanks for a few minutes today, bud.
All right, thanks a lot.
There he is, Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Hall of Fame coach Jeff Smith, longtime knee assistant in 20 minutes. We'll get caught up with Dean Blevins and hit chemistry in them Sooners.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Do or die for Bama. Must win to make the NCAA tournament. Sexton got it! He got it! He got it! Roll Tide! They did it!
You know, even when it's basketball season, they find a way. They being Bama fan. How about Sexton as he makes the Aggies cry. They have a meeting with Auburn coming up. There's a bet that you see on social media. And if you haven't seen it out there, it's pretty good. And the kid who got benched for Alabama is, he made a bet with, it's no shock here, Charles Barkley is making a bet. Jalen Hurts is a stand-up dude and very talented and gave way to Tua. So I retweeted this at Schmidt underscore radio. You have Hurts having to wear a Auburn jersey because Auburn beat Bama. That was the bet. Chuckster was going to wear a jersey on the set of TNT, a Bama jersey, if Auburn got beat by Bama. If Bama got beat by Auburn, well, Jalen had to wear a War Eagle jersey around campus. And he's like, hey, Chuck, here's the, I'm putting this jersey on. Here it is. Oh, hold on. Got to grab my backpack. And it was an Alabama backpack with the national championship trophy in the back. It's pretty good. You just heard Alabama there. They're one of the teams that are the last four in. We'll find out here in a little bit about what is going to happen, like we know, but what is likely going to happen with Oklahoma. And the reason I bring it up is because you've got teams out there like Oklahoma State, like the Big 12, who could end up with nine teams in. Where is Nebraska at? We don't know. Joe Lunardi talked to Sam McEwen today, and it wasn't favorable nor flattering with Nebraska. I believe the quote is not close with where Nebraska's at. They're the next four out, and they're the last team on that next four out, the final eight teams that are out. Alabama staying alive. Who else is around? Well, you have kind of a trio here, cut six. What's going to happen? This is Joey Brackets, who most of you loathe. He only missed one team a year ago. Can hate him all you want. And don't kid yourself, he's sick of being questioned by a Nebraska fan, but you keep at him if you want. But here's the trio right now that could be taking a play in or spot if you think Nebraska's okay. And by the way, their percentage is up to 84% on that first website we were talking about earlier this week. They're up to 84%. Now, four of 80 brackets, you know, four out of 80, that's the four that have Nebraska in. But here's Lunardi. And you have three teams that are just in trouble, especially if you're Arizona State and you're Oklahoma. Notre Dame still has a shot at, I think it's at Duke tonight. I think, Notre Dame can continue to make a late charge, but here's Joe.
I think the Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and throw in Arizona State stories are, you know, any one of them would be compelling enough to be the top bubble story in a given season. And we haven't even talked about, you know, our favorite Orange men who have put themselves squarely on the wrong side of the bubble yet again, meaning they'll be the one I missed yet again. But I think when you look at the Oklahomas, if you will, you have to really dive in and look at, as crazy as it sounds, since they've both beaten really good teams, who did they lose to? And in Oklahoma State's case...
Dramatic pause for Joe Lunardi. More from Joe. Oklahoma State was a topic about a sneak-in team. A spot stealer. Well, they were asked to beat Kansas three times, twice within a week. They lost by 12 today, but more on the Cowboys.
Some of the losses and also some of the wins in the non-conference were weaker. in the old days when we would have a column of last record in last 10 or record in last 12, the Sooners would have a big, you know, red number there. But that's not the way they do it anymore, and I think they'll sneak in. And I think Oklahoma State may yet make it as well. There are two or three teams ahead of them. I've got them 69 now and Notre Dame 70. There are teams ahead of them that are more likely to play their way out than hold their spot in the next two or three days.
Right now, you have Oklahoma and Arizona State playing their way out. A week ago, Nebraska's performance arguably playing them out of the tournament. We'll see. Time will tell with Selection Sunday. Oklahoma State's done pretty well to play themselves in. Can Notre Dame keep playing themselves in? Do you care? Well, you kind of should, because these are spots being occupied that could help Nebraska. You need Marquette to get drilled tonight by Marquette. You need Baylor to get smoked by Huggy Bear in West Virginia. I'm just saying, how many 18 and 14 teams can you take from the Big 12? But they're there, and they're occupying your spot, Nebraska basketball fan. Trey Young, and I can't wait to talk to Dean Blevins about this kid. He's awesome, major talent. You've never seen anything like this. I mean, maybe if you're a Cubs fan, you have. But it's straight up meltdown how bad they are after they got bounced by Okie State last night. Tourney hopes, here's Trey Young.
I didn't expect us to be in this position. I mean, obviously you expect us to keep winning and hopefully have a chance to get a 1 seed, 2 seed, or even up in that range. But I mean, like I said, our body of work speaks for itself, and I think we have a good shot of getting in just because of our resume. Our resume speaks for itself. I think we had the toughest schedule, I mean, in America.
That's nice. He's saying our resume. That's good. That's nice. Because the last month, it's been me, not we. It's been I, not us. He is a major issue. And Oklahoma's more likely to go Full Metal Jacket, bar of soap, tube sock, code red on that guy, if you ask the other 11 guys on the bench, then travel with him if they get in. Again, back to the theme of the day, Chemistry Thursday. Cue up Jesse and Walt. Starts and ends a team. We'll wind down hour one. Jeff Smith, Hall of Fame coach, former knee assistant. 15 minutes away, Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
We'll talk state tournament, boys, state 2018, 10 minutes away. Jeff Smith, Hall of Famer with Lincoln Southeast, get his take on Nebraska basketball and the knee era. Coach and I will have East. I had a game earlier this morning. Lincoln Christian was awesome, and they have moved on to round two. But we'll have East and Brian tonight over on KFOR at 8:45. Pius gets rolling at 7 over on Sister Station here in Lincoln. KFOR at 7 with Jeff Moats. You got a halftime score, Bellevue West over Kearney, 31-22. So we'll talk a little state tournament and a little Nebraska basketball nostalgia. Can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Court, can tap house, 466-377-6800, 825-5865. You're building a program. What brick? Where do you place that brick that is chemistry? And it's got to be the one. It's got to be the one you put down. Colton, you hooped it up in high school, did you?
Very minimally, but a little bit. I played some summer basketball in high school.
Yeah?
But
how'd it go?
It went well. But then the whole knee thing happened, and then I tried out my sophomore year on one leg. Not that that's an excuse, but that's kind of what they told me when they cut me, too.
You're only playing with one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
No, I hear you. I hear you. So we get caught up with Jeff Smith in 10 minutes. We'll run down Dean Blevins, longtime former Sooner, get his take on what's gone on with OU. I mean, I hope you're interested, not just, I don't know if you care about Oklahoma basketball, but I know you followed and enjoyed Trae Young, how talented he is. But you do not see a team implode like that at all. And this story's not new. Mm-hmm. With Oklahoma, it's happened, and it's taken a lot of awesome teams down. Teams fall apart because of infighting. Sauter Heyman and Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman there. If you're in town for the state tournament or you're a resident, but it's time to get a wife or girlfriend something new and shiny, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, Sauter Heyman, 100% real diamonds grown in a lab. 100% sustainable, eco-friendly, 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. See why they're some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history, and that's over a century. 12th and O downtown, Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. Can log on today, sauterheyman.com. So, plenty of basketball to get you caught up on. State tournament action alive and well. Opening round for 2018 Boys State. Interested to see how Lincoln East goes tonight. Anxious to see how Pius goes. Both teams have done well, performed well against the Metro. The shock of the day, not that Omaha Central got beat in overtime by Millard South, but the fact that Millard South was down 17-0 to start that game out and won by 10 in overtime. Hour two coming up. Hall of Fame coach Jeff Smith. He'll join us. Plenty of basketball to cover with him. Dean Blevins. What's wrong with Trae Young and the Sooners? Bubble Talk, Nebraska basketball. And next hour, Hail Varsity continues.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, producing, engineering. Dean Blevins, longtime Sooner on the hardwood and gridiron. We'll try and explain what's gone on with Trae Young and Boomer Sooner. Longtime assistant for Coach Knee, Hall of Fame coach at Lincoln Southeast. And sitting next to me for a lot of high school basketball this year, Jeff Smith with us. Coach, how's it going? How are you?
Good. I'm just sitting here in the Pinnacle Bank Arena watching some Class A basketball, so doesn't get much better than this.
No, I bet you're smiling and you're pretty happy. Let's stay there. And you were there for Central and Millard South.
Yes.
The overtime, the win, the upset. Central's so good. Coach Barron's so good. Millard South not to be sneezed at either. How'd that happen? How'd that upset happen?
Central jumps on him and gets up 17-0, and South just steadily climbs back in it with patience, and they didn't panic and looked like they were a little nervous at first and couldn't find the rim, and then once they settled in, they really executed well. They got a nice point guard that controlled some tempo once they got up around the lead. Once they got the lead, it was a really nice comeback, steady comeback by Millard South. One of the Central players, their post fouled out, and it really kind of changed the game around the basket in the lane. That made a big difference for Millard South.
Jeff Smith with us. He's down at PBA, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach will be on the East call tonight. We'll have that over on KFOR locally, and Pius tips off at 7. Two teams that you and I have had a chance to see this year. You're the coach. You know how good East is. You know how good Pius is. Two tough draws, but two draws that I think Pius and East are anxious to kind of test themselves against. Let's start off with Pius and Prep. Coach Spitchkin company not far removed from putting 91 points up against Millard South.
Yeah, now that win even is more impressive in those points, because I was, you know, impressed with Millard South's defensive intensity and smarts and execution. So for Pius to do that says a lot about how they're playing right now. And I think this is a tough matchup. I'm a little worried about the Gal kid that plays for Prep. He can make a difference inside against Pius. But what's going to be fun is both teams like to play at a high pace. Both teams typically shoot the ball well. And I don't think Pius is going to back down at all from Prep. They played recently. Pius was ahead in the third quarter of that game. So this is going to be a fun one for us to call and for us to watch.
It will absolutely be. Jeff Smith down at PBA with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, let's look at East and Brian. And it's been a while since Brian's been there. I remember the Coach Ken and Brian squads. I know he's at Millard North now. But a long build here for Coach O'Donnell. But Brian's back there, and East is, man, they're thirsty. They've been waiting a long time with this group, this senior class, to get to state.
Yeah, they have, and I think it's a good matchup for East. I think East size should be the difference in this game. Brian has some good 6'2", 6'3", talent, some good steady athletes, but I don't think they have a great matchup for Jordan Jansen. I don't think they have a great matchup for Sam Griesel. And if East can stay out of foul trouble, I think they should be able to take care of business in this opener.
Coach, just overall thoughts here. I know Bell West and Kearney are probably in the middle of the third quarter right now. What's your takeaway from the game at this point in time right now?
It's 41-27. Bell West has played pretty well. They just went through about a four-minute stretch where it was 10-point game and 37-27, and nobody was scoring and everybody was turning it over. Bell West got a couple of buckets here. They've played well. Kearney's just kind of struggling. It's kind of cost her nothing right now. They got a couple kids in foul trouble. But I've been impressed with Bell West's defense on Cannon Koster. They're switching out on him. They're not letting him get penetration. He had one really nice baseline drive and dunk, but they kept him pretty quiet here. And so far, it looks like Bell West has a really nice game plan for Kearney and executing it well.
Coach, I know you smile with PBA and the venue. It's pretty electrifying with this group, with this crowd. Excited to have you on the call tonight with East, and we'll have that on KFOR. I want to switch gears, as Dirk's done a long project for Nebraska basketball, specifically the knee era, and guys that are friends of the show. Yourself, of course, Bo Reed, Bykowski, a number of those guys have commented on it. You worked with Coach Knee for a number of years as an assistant. You were there early on, and you were part of that three-seed season. I want to go to the topic of chemistry. I kind of started it off the show with it, with Frost and how he's trying to build the right chemistry for football. But how did you guys go into trying to kind of build and kind of put your vision forward from a chemistry standpoint? I know you wanted to get great players, but you guys had a ton of different personalities you had to bring together.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm gonna give Dr. Jack Stark a lot of credit for that. He came in and kind of changed our program as far as how we viewed each other, how we worked together, how we communicated. And I haven't read all the articles yet. Mm-hmm. I need to catch up tonight. But the first one I know talked about the hot seat. Mm-hmm. And we would go to somebody's cabin or somewhere just to get away. We'd mess around a little bit, maybe ride some jet skis. But then we'd sit down and get down to business. And we would put every player into the hot seat. And that was just the people in that room that really nothing else came out of that except the people in that room communicating with each other. And there were some hard things said sometimes. But it was also a chance for the guy in the hot seat to kind of explain himself. So not only did he get to hear what his teammates thought, but he also kind of sometimes could defend himself a little bit and get guys to understand some of their thought processes. And that was kind of the start, I thought, to our chemistry growing quickly and just loving each other more. And that chemistry that all the coaches want. So I'm giving Dr. Stark a lot of credit and Coach Knee to have the foresight to involve Dr. Stark. That was the start of it all. But then, you know, winning cures a lot. And once we started understanding, and I don't think we ever understood how good we really were, especially that 91 season, but once we started feeling success, you know, success breeds success. And so then we had a little more respect for each other going in. We gained more respect when we saw what we could do together. And then it just kind of snowballed.
At what point was there a player that was able to just not mince words, but just say, look, I'm going to say some things you don't like, but it's for not just your benefit, but for our benefit. Don't get defensive. How did that message not only get spoken, but received? Because that's hard to do, constructively criticize for the greater good.
I think once Bo got into his, after his injury, mm-hmm. he'd been through the ringer. You know, he'd been through a couple tough seasons. He'd been through the red shirt season. I thought Bo Reed was probably number one with that. When we were up and rolling, I think Bo was somebody that the guys kind of looked through. Once they understood that Bo was all about competing and toughness and expectations high on that for everybody, then that's kind of where everybody kind of fell in line. Later in the Strickland was a great example on the floor. Bruce Chubbuck, guys that worked hard, they had the right to speak up. And Bruce Chubbuck and Eric Strickland, guys like that, they laid it on the line every day. And not, they weren't the only ones, but they did it every day. And so you can't help but listen to guys that show every day that they are willing to put their body and mind into this program and try to make everybody on the floor better. And those guys may be led by example more than just verbally, mm-hmm. but they were a couple that were heavily involved in that too. Another guy that I always loved coaching and respected was a guy named Keith Moody, if people remember him.
Yep.
He was, you know, he's a football kid that was tough, that came in, and boy, he showed toughness and some leadership ability. And he was, you know, half football player, half basketball player, but sometimes that's okay. You know,
Jeff Smith's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Hall of Fame coach, Lincoln Southeast, and longtime assistant with Danny Knee. We're talking about the Knee basketball era. You guys weren't really, you know, familiar with the NCAA tournament. I know Coach Knee had gotten there at Ohio, but 91 happens. But then you guys follow it up for four consecutive years. You were able to navigate not only the underdog mentality, but also survive as a favorite. But you also had some growing pains as a program, too, because the in-state talent was incredible with Strickland and Boone and Badgett and Woolridge. You were able to bring in some monster recruits, but you still had the upperclassmen of Pike and Chubbuck. And how did that work itself out, because you had the young guns thinking that they're pretty awesome, and the veterans saying, "Hold up here, we've been through it, and we've done it every day."
Yeah, that was that took a while. It was there were some definite challenges there, and I'm talking challenges on the court mm-hmm. where things would get very intense. I'm talking challenges in coaching when we had to navigate and Danny had to pull the right buttons. And I remember specifically when those guys were freshmen, we were in the Big 8 tournament and the starters were struggling. And Danny put in, I think, four freshmen on the floor. And we made a run. I think it was against K-State. And we took the lead. And then Danny had a really tough coaching decision there. The guys on the floor were kind of getting tired. You don't just put Piekowski on the bench and leave him there and guys like that that got us there. So then he put the guys back in, the starters back in. We ended up losing that game. It was just some fluky things happened down the stretch. I still supported the decision Coach Nee made because you got to put those, you know, you got to put your first team all Big Eight guys back in. And so he did. And I think we missed a couple free throws and they hit a big three on us. But I know there was some, I know the young guys were like, you know, we could have finished that out. And maybe they could have, maybe not. I don't know. But generally, they, through practice, they worked things out. And the young guys, most of the time, fell into place and knowing where their what their role was. But it didn't stop their hunger. It didn't stop them from striving to play more as a freshman. They were in their offices a lot. What do I get to play more? What do I get to play more? Just keep working your butt off and expect you know, always be ready. And so it was a challenging year, but also you love having that much talent when you're a coach because you could filter guys in there and not drop off much. And it was exciting to know, you know, really that was the group that led to the NIT championship that probably should have got. And when Tyron added to that group later on when I was gone, you knew there was a lot of talent there that you were going to have some fun down the stretch with that group.
Coach, a last thought here. How was Coach Nee able to ride his guys but also bring them back after he'd gotten colorful, let's just say, with verbal motivation?
Yeah, they just knew that was Danny. They knew that's the way he coached. Those guys were smart enough. And you know what? That's what assistant coaches are for. Mm-hmm. That was part of our role. That's what older players are for. You go in and put your arm. The older players go in and put their arm around that young guy that he maybe, you know, berated a little bit. Let's call it motivated.
Motivated, yes.
But those guys would, excuse me, they would help each other. We would, you know, I coached a lot of the guards. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'd have some guards in my office the next day, and we're talking about, hey, you can't handle that. How are you going to handle overtime against Oklahoma State and playing Big Country? You know, you can't handle the heat Coach Nee's putting on you. What are you going to do when it's crunch time then? Mm-hmm. You just do that as assistant coach and help your head coach out. That's your job, you know. And if you believe in each other and you believe Coach Nee knows what he's doing. I mean, there's times sometimes coaching staffs will say, let's test this kid today. Let's purposely put some pressure on this kid. I'm going to go after this kid a little bit. You guys kind of watch how he responds, and then we'll talk to him afterwards and see, you know, how let's see if he's got any mental toughness. There's coaches that do that sometimes, and I'm not saying we didn't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to test those kids out a little bit. But then Coach Nee was good about talking to him. He'd have them in their office anytime they wanted to come in. He had an open office for him, and he'd sit and talk to him. So it's not that they didn't trust him. They didn't. They knew he was doing it for their benefit. Mm-hmm. Was it a Midwest way? Well, not necessarily, but that was Danny's way, and that's what they understood after they got to know him.
Jeff Smith, Hall of Fame coach, Lincoln Southeast, longtime assistant with Coach Nee. He'll be on the call tonight, KFOR, with East and Brian. Coach, we'll see you down at PBA. Thanks for a few today.
I'll be here. I'll see you a little bit.
See you, bud. Take care. Thanks,
bye.
Coach.
You bet.
There he is, Jeff Smith, the Nee era, and it's a great series by Dirk. And Coach was a part of that. Good to hear from him. We'll run down Dean Blevins. Dean's thoughts on where Oklahoma can and will land. Longtime Sooner. Up next on Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back in Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Love talking some college basketball and some NFL Combine. News 9 Sports Director, Oklahoma City Sports Animal, Dean Blevins, former Sooner standout with us, at Dean Blevins on Twitter. Dean, how you doing? How's March Madness treating you?
Not very well. It's been rude. In fact, things have been rude ever since Oklahoma lost to Oklahoma State in Stillwater after Trey Young put up 39 to score 48. Things have gone south, but as I turn on the television, I see Tiger under par and standing over a five-footer, so all is right in the world. Come on.
No, I know. It's going to warm up, and it's going to be an exciting March. Danger level right now for OU. What do you believe, Dean, as they were knocked out, Oklahoma knocked out by Oklahoma State yesterday? Do you believe Oklahoma is in serious danger of missing the tournament, or do you think they're okay?
Well, you know, as close as I am to the situation, I can tell you I don't have a lot of I'm worn out by it, and so I don't know. I think there's a feeling of apathy around these parts because it's been the most stunning historic collapse, not only in the history of OU basketball, but it will rank up there with some of the all-time collapses. I mean, this is a club that was 14-2, number four in the country, early prognostications, number one, number two seed, and he's already locked up the player of the year in Trae Young, and now here we sit wondering whether they're in or not. I thought they were in when four games, BPIs came out, and they were a 98th percentile of being in, and then they won two of their final three, so I thought they were in, but they're a bad basketball team right now and don't deserve it.
Why have they gone from the penthouse to the outhouse, in your opinion?
They're very soft. They are an emotional wreck right now. It all has to do with Trae Young. Now, I'll tell you that I know Trae, friends with Trae. He came through Norman, which I did, and so I go way back and know his father and all that. So I'm not bashing the kid, but I am. You're asking me the question, mm-hmm. and to me it's real simple. Chemistry is about as bad as I've ever seen it on a team. He had really never caught criticism, Chris, ever, until that Oklahoma State game where he did put up those 39 shots, and the national media, which had been fawning over him, for the first time criticized him, and I think he and his camp didn't take it well. Lon Kruger needed him to change some things, and I think internally teammates brought up some things to him, and that kid never really had a smile on his face the rest of the time he was in Norman. And that practices are open, and we'd go to practices, and it was stunning to see the difference in his brilliant personality and smile, and then all of a sudden after that, he's standing at the other end of the court during timeouts and just the opposite. So you can't win at any level with chemistry as bad as Oklahoma has had.
Dean Blevins with us, Hail Varsity Radio, talking Sooners, NCAA tournament bubble, and a projected 1-2 seed 6 weeks ago in danger of missing the tournament. Let's stay, Dean, on this chemistry topic. And Kruger's been around a lot. He's taken a ton of programs to an NCAA tournament. He's won in a number of March games. He is someone I respect, and I remember him from the Big Eight days, but it just kind of comes down to being able to deal with a star or a star's personality. It seems like this is a bit too much to overcome based on that criticism you were talking about. And what now? Can you take a step forward? Can you bury it if you do get in?
No, this thing is done. Lon's as good a guy as you'll ever meet. Doesn't blow a whistle in practice, doesn't cuss at the kids, the kindest person, very competitive. In fact, you were bringing me back to the old Big Eight days. He was actually my host when I was recruited at Kansas State to play basketball. So Lonnie and I go way back. No, this thing is this thing's toast. It's just a matter of whether they have a game or another game or not. And I wouldn't expect them to win, even if they get in and go forward. This thing just needs to end quickly and peacefully as it possibly can.
Dean Blevins with us, News 9, Oklahoma City Sports Animal, at Dean Blevins on Twitter. Oklahoma State, have they done enough to get in your opinion?
Their numbers are bad, whereas Oklahoma has a resume that you just absolutely love. But the eye test and the truth is they stink right now. Oklahoma State's the other. Their RPI and the things you look for really aren't there to match the level of play they've had, particularly in these upset wins where they've just been really, really good. ITest says definitely in. So I would think that the Big 12 has a chance to get 9 in if that's what needs to happen for those guys to get in. But, I mean, it's possible that Oklahoma could be the team left out, and they just move forward. I think with the Trae Young factor, though, plus what Oklahoma has done overall, I think the Sooners would minimally be in the play-in game, but I do expect Oklahoma State now to slip in.
So say OU gets in the play-in, that's in Dayton. Say a miracle happens and Nebraska gets in. How about a little Big 8, Big 12 reunion in Dayton, Nebraska, Oklahoma? It's coming up in football, and see you in Dayton. How's that sound?
Well, I would love it. I would say that Nebraska would be catching Oklahoma at the right time. Let me just put it that way.
Man, Dean, you've seen a lot of Sooner sports, football and basketball. You played both, man, and I've never heard you be so frustrated with this team, what it was and what it's become.
Let me put it to you this way. I've been watching or part of as a player or covering Oklahoma sports for, I don't know, 55 years is probably fair to say, where I was really aware of what was going on. And this is the most discombobulated and disappointing team among football and basketball. So 110 teams, if you will, during those years. Mm-hmm. This is the most disappointing that I've ever seen. Because Trae Young is sensational in many ways, and the supporting cast has the potential to do what they did at the beginning of the year, but this league is so darn good, its coaches and its players, and they made adjustments to slow Trae down, but it wasn't that. It wasn't the X's and O's. It was the chemistry issues, and I'm not pointing fingers at who's right and who's wrong. I'm just telling you that the chemistry is what has this club ranking at the bottom of the 110 teams, if you will, that I just outlined.
Dean Blevins with us. A couple more minutes. Hail Varsity Radio. Dean, a thought here. I want to go back, and Nebraska's on the bubble. They've not been on the bubble much. There's been some nostalgia here recently when it comes to Nebraska basketball, the Danny Nee era. He circled Billy Tubbs and that Sooners team and program when he got to Nebraska, the up-tempo, and Nebraska ended up being really good in the early 90s to mid-90s, the four-year tournament run. What do you remember about Nee and Tubbs?
Oh, that was a great era because you had Norm Stewart in there as yeah. well. You had Larry up at Kansas. You had a couple people at Kansas. You just had some great coaches, and even though the league was smaller, it was better because it was kind of more of a family, but you could enjoy family feuds. Nebraska basketball was fun. I remember coming up and calling several games and seeing really good talent that Danny would bring in. Danny was a really good recruiter, but he could also coach him up. And Nebraska really made a surge back then. Historically, I can't remember what Nebraska had done before then. It seems like not
just
much.
Just one.
Yeah. So Danny Nee kind of put them out there for the nation to see, and they were very, very competitive. And he was a personality alongside Tubbs and some of the others that made the Big Eight as much fun as it was. But Nebraska basketball was sound and with really good players. I can see several in my mind's eye right now. I'm having trouble with some of the names, but I can see it in my mind's eye right now and remember many an Ivy in Lincoln and in Norman and in following the Huskers throughout the league back then. They stood on their own and were darn good.
Dean, a last thought here. Baker Mayfield, combine is over. And what type of vibe do you have with the Mayfield camp right now is where he may end up, and how did the combine go when it comes to interviews and answering some questions that folks may have?
Well, the interviews are one thing. The performance at the combine and the Senior Bowl is another. His measuring is another. For one thing, he stood over 6'5", which gets him past that little – that issue out there that looms over some. It's amazing. Had he only been 5'11½", he might be perceived differently than he is now that he's closer to 6'1" than 6 feet. So he got over that hurdle. I think that maybe one or two teams were turned off with his brashness, but at the same time, other teams, i.e. the Jets and Cleveland, I think they kind of like that. bottom line is, I was darn glad to finally see the combine get here and back up what I've been saying for 3 years. This guy has the tools of a professional quarterback. He has a live arm. They said this, the people that I respect said the second strongest arm, along with Rosen, at the combine. His anticipation, his accuracy, his leadership, all of the things that you look for at the combine in the drills, he provided. And Chris, maybe more importantly, or as importantly, he didn't have to go to the Senior Bowl, the Heisman-winning quarterback, fresh off a good performance in the Rose Bowl. He showed up at the Senior Bowl, participated in everything, and he wasn't in the practices 3 days before the NFL scouts were going, wow, this guy is special. So that's just kind of the guy he is. He doesn't back down from anything. So he backed up a tremendous Senior Bowl week of practice with an outstanding combine, and he stands to go in the top seven in the draft. I don't see him really falling beyond that group of teams looking at quarterback play. I'm hoping he goes to Denver. The Jets wouldn't surprise me if they do a Broadway Baker with him.
That'd be good. He'd live it up in New York, and the Jets have needed quarterback play for a while. Being tutored by Elway would be very special. News 9 and Sports Animals' Dean Blevins with his former Sooner standout hoops and on the gridiron at Dean Blevins on Twitter. Dean, we'll run you down here as we get closer to spring. Thanks for a few minutes today, bud.
Oh, sounds good. Love to hear from you, and love Huskerland, as you know, truly do. So I'll look forward to hearing from you again, Chris.
Dean Blevins, News 9. A lot of years with ABC, Dean. Hoops and football, and kind of covered a lot, but I've never heard him. He's covered OU football and basketball for a long time, and I've never heard him so real with chemistry issues on that Sooner team.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@halevarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Tim Miles Twitter news towards Joe Lunardi. You know what Nebraska fans should do? Chip in. Get Lunardi a hot tub. He's stressing. And send him to see Deb the Spa Lady. Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2, spasonline.com. Also, Home Innovation Spas in Omaha. Deb, you got to be smiling. Your Jayhawks beat Oklahoma State today. How are you?
I am at the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, I thought so you were.
I was there, and I got to watch it. So we're real happy. We're just. Now, I just think we need to make some mad, crazy deals on hot tubs because it's March Madness. Let's go crazy and get a hot tub in your backyard, save lots and lots of money, let us do the work, and you'll be sitting back and enjoying it, maybe even in time for Selection Sunday.
I think that can happen. And, Deb, you've got a spa for any basketball fan, don't you?
We do. We have everything from the little two-person spas up to the big swim spas. And maybe we could just have the whole team come over, get in a swim spa, and watch Selection Sunday.
I think
that'd be great.
That's a winner. That is absolutely a winner. Deb, the spa lady, we've checked in with Coach Smith down at PBA. We've checked in with Deb, the spa lady, live at the Big 12 tournament. Down there at the Sprint Center, spasonline.com, 20th and Highway 2 here in Lincoln, and, of course, on Industrial Road in Omaha. So, Deb, I mean, you do have a spa that could fit probably 80% of a basketball team. I mean, you have a spa that big.
We could. There probably wouldn't be a whole lot of water left in it after they got out.
Well,
but at least while they're in it, they could be sitting back and enjoying it.
Well, I think it's what you got to do, and you haven't lived till you've watched Selection Sunday from a spa with Deb the Spa Lady. Make it part of your bucket list. Make it part of your sports bucket list, and go see Deb at Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, and then up in Omaha on Industrial Road. Deb, I want you to have one heck of a good time because I think your Jayhawks are going to win – the Big 12 tournament again.
I think they might. Yep, we're pretty excited. It'll be fun.
Are you hydrating Iowa State fans? I mean, who have you bumped into?
Oh gosh, about everybody. We sat with some K-State fans, of course, earlier today and watched the end of that game. Not hardly any Iowa State fans left there. Let's see, Oklahoma, very few, but we've seen a little of everything. It's been fun.
Iowa State fans used to drink Kemper out of Budweiser. That's the rumor.
Well, there's plenty left now.
Deb, we'll get caught up with you. Enjoy your tournament. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
See ya. There she is, Deb the Spa Lady. She loves hoops, man. I don't lie to you about that. She is the biggest college basketball fan there is. And she's down. That's pretty nice. From the Sprint Center, Deb the Spa Lady checking in. She's got a hot tub for you just in time for Selection Sunday. Give Deb a ring. At Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2. Go by and see her. Colton, now, you're kind of formulating. You're crafty. Danny's just a gambling degenerate. Whoever wins him money, he's on that bandwagon. But I'm asking you right now, before Selection Sunday, who do you think can who's playing well right now? And I know we have semis and finals yet to go. But who are you feeling right now? What team or two teams or four teams? You clowns will all be on spring break next week. Watching it.
Yeah.
Which, and getting some sun, and I'm proud of you for it. We'll get to Tim Miles' tweet here to Lenardi in a second, but are you in love with any team?
Not really. I mean, Arizona State had a huge collapse. Oklahoma's had
a huge collapse. They're not going.
Yeah, and if they do, it's a play-in. Like almost a pity play, and I feel like just to get another Pac-12 team. Marquette losing would help Nebraska, I've always really liked Marquette basketball because of Dwayne Wade.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And if they could get it done against Villanova, they're kind of in a prime spot to get a spot.
We don't want that to happen.
Well, no. If you're a Nebraska fan, no, you don't want that to happen. But I don't know.
Are you feeling Cincy, Kentucky, Wichita State, Arizona with all those, well, my voice isn't on the phone or it's not been released yet?
As far as like top teams, I mean,
Florida, man, is supposed to be awesome when they give a damn and play well.
I don't think I've watched enough to like really like lock down a team, but Michigan's really hot.
I hope they put a run together. I love Beeline.
Yeah.
I think he's awesome.
Beeline's really cool.
He's a good coach.
And they put something together in the Big Ten tournament, and if they can carry a little bit of momentum, I know it's a huge layoff.
I think Purdue's good.
Sparty might be all right.
I think – here's what I can't – I have no clue how Izzo is not – screamed, and maybe he has in private, but I don't know how he has a voice left with Miles Bridges. Have you look at all of their games down to the wire? Mm-hmm. Have you found a game where they've lost where he hasn't done two or three things that are just absolutely, you don't do that in second grade, you sure as hell don't do that as a sophomore? Mm-hmm. Court IQ and just decision making.
Yeah,
he's a guy that can take it the length of the court and dunk you on you, and he can hit three, and he's a phenomenal player. But the guy just doesn't think ever in crunch time.
And I know like the Trae Young situation is a little different as far as like that's just kind of being cancer to the team. But.
Yeah, that's Trae. Like, I need my 39 shots. You guys aren't as good as me.
Bridges just kind of has like a lapse in the couple final minutes if it's close.
Yeah. Well, here is Tim Miles' tweet. This was a few hours ago. Hey, I like the way ESPN thinks. A 9 seed. At ESPN Lenardi, I see what you're doing here. Keep the Huskers on the bubble for some extra drama. This was tweeted out by Tim Miles, the College Basketball Power Index, and Nebraska in at 35, which is a 9 seed projection. Your quality wins, Kansas with the most. Your strength of record leader is Virginia. And your strength of schedule leader is North Carolina. your non-conference strength of schedule leaders, Texas Southern, that's at 13-19 because they're non-con strength of schedule. It's a paycheck time. But right now, Creighton's in at 26, Zone at 27, and Arkansas and Florida, 28-29. Nebraska in front of Oklahoma, in front of NC State, in front of Florida State, behind Rhode Island at 35 with a 9 seed when it comes to the Nebraska when it comes to the college basketball power index.
Virginia's pretty good too. I forgot about them. They've got good defense.
I want them out in the first round.
I don't like them.
I can't stand them. And I don't dislike Bennett. Points. No, it's going to be a 49-48 ball game. Can't take it. Can't do it. We'll wind down a Thursday. State basketball coming up at 7 over on KFOR in Lincoln. KFORnow.com, Pius and Creighton Prep. And then the nightcap with East and Bryant.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Run some scores down for you. College basketball, Virginia over Louisville. So Cardinal go home. Xavier Rock, St. John's. Kansas State over TCU. That was overtime. TCU hit a money shot there to force overtime. Clemson got by BC by 8. Arizona went to Buffalo hunting. Sorry, Colton. 83-67. Nevada over UNLV. Kansas says no more Cowboys. Finally, they beat Oklahoma State. And then Georgia over Missouri. Georgia's the 12 seed. Georgia's one of those bubble teams in some estimations. Tip off here in about 5 minutes. Duke, Notre Dame. The Irish are making a late surge. Texas Tech, quarterfinal action in the Big 12. And you need Texas to lose there. You need Notre Dame to lose there. You need Marquette to lose tonight to Villanova. And you need Baylor to lose. Like, the one team that is out in the Big 12 is Iowa State because they're below 500. Everyone else is in play. 9? 9? We'll know Sunday. I probably won't remember to ask you on Saturday. So in or out, Oklahoma?
I want to say out. Just based on how bad it went at the end of the season. I want to say out.
Okay. Okay.
But I will not be surprised if they get a spot.
I think they stay in.
Yeah.
Right now they're turning into not formerly known as 1 or 2 seed with player of the year, but they're turning into freak show reality TV.
Yeah. It's not good.
We'll keep you posted tomorrow. Derek Peterson and Jacob Padilla, little Hail Varsity Friday, going to be on the show. Plenty of state tournament coverage. We'll have that tonight. I want to remind you, if you're out and about and you're texting and driving, there are stupider things to do, but that list is short. Texting and driving, always dangerous behavior, no matter who the driver is. When you text and drive and you take your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds, it's like driving blind for 55 miles per hour, the length of a football field, and that increases your crash risk by 23 times. It's also illegal, which means you get caught doing it, you could be fined between $100 and $300. No text message more important than your life or the lives of your passengers and the others in the roadway. So a message not to text and drive from your friends here at the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. You missed the show? Welcome to log on, HailVarsity.com. Go to iTunes as well. And the select portions continue to go up on the ESPN Lincoln app and ESPNLincoln.com. So, 8:45 tonight, if you're in Lincoln over on KFOR, East and Brian, myself, Coach Smith, Jeff Motes has that at 7. And if you're in town from out of town, good luck to you and your boys in 2018. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hale Varsity. Thanks.